Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to Parenting Reconstructive Learning Lab. This is Rashid Salam, your host, your guest for tonight. I'm having a little problem with my line so far, but I hope and pray that we can get everybody on here. Give me a minute to get this squared away. Just hang on. We're having some problems with our switchboard. So get this, if you can hang on for a few minutes, I'll see if I can get everything squared away for you. Just 1 second. Is switchboard operating functional here? We're having a few problems on the switchboard. We are live and we are on air, but I'm having a problem with the switchboard keeping people online here. I don't know what the problem is, but I'm working it out. Just bear with me, and we'll get things situated in just one moment, please. Hey, Mark, are you in? I don't see your phone number. I don't see your number at all.
I know, I
have nobody's number on here. I'm into the back office, and I'm here, and I let everybody
hear you. I can hear you on there.
Yeah, I don't know why the numbers are not showing up at all. I'm on the switchboard.
So did you? Okay, you on the switchboard?
I'm looking at the switchboard right now. There's no numbers on here at all to open up.
This is what I need you to do. Did you check your, because you can get in as a host, I mean, you know, like what you're doing, but you have to have a password to be in that host seat as the engineer.
Oh, I am. I'm already. I got the host pin in. Everything is in.
Oh, so now it's on your computer.
No, I mean, no, nobody's number is on here. I mean, I'm into the studio.
Okay. I'll try to call him, man.
Yeah. Let me try one little piece here.
Go ahead. I'm listening to you on the radio. I'm going to get off and see if I can try to get you some.
Okay, yeah, because I'm in the studio. I'm in the studio.
Yes, but you got to be with your computer. You ain't just a screen there. Okay, I'll go ahead and work on it.
I'm working right now, so if I can get the numbers on here, then I can do it. I got a live audience online here.
I got the whole country on the line right now. It's showing up, but I'm going to get sick.
Then you can apply to work who should operate the license office and control. Sister Nadia, my guest, hold on, let me give you her because she's going to be on with me. She's the 386 number. The 3862. Okay, open her mic. Open her mic and my mic. Okay.
Mark, you still there?
Or can also a 330-437-1418.
Okay, but then, we need to close those mics up and we'll go ahead with the show. Thank you, brother, now.
No, that's the host number.
The host.
Hey, that's my number.
Okay.
Want me to get off?
Hold it. Rashid,
that's me. You want me to get off?
No. Imam Sair, I got him on the phone. He just opened my mic and he opened Najwa's mic. And if you don't have a studio, then you just need to call in at the your number 650. He can open your mic.
Okay, I'm on 314. That's me.
Oh, you're on 314. Oh, yeah, he's on. Okay, he opened your mic. So you're on the 314 number. Okay, so he opened your mic. Okay. Okay, so we're gonna go ahead. And
I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
I'm in the studio, but
how are you gonna deal with? Well, that's the thing. Rashid. See, the other thing, the other...
No, I have to listen to your show tonight.
Well, you know what, Imam McKell said, you know, so the people call in, you won't be able to see him. Yeah, I mean, he'll have to listen to my show tonight, and he...
I have to.
In the world around it, So,
call in.
Okay, I can go ahead and get started then.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you, brother Imam. Okay, Bismillah Rahman Rahim, Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Ailameen, Ashadu Ilaha illallah, wa sharika lahu, wa shahadu anna Muhammadan Abduluhu wa Rasuluhu, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mubarak. With the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshiped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran is revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger. And what follows of the excellent salutation of the Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host, the facilitator, and the producer, along with Nadia Abdul-Tawab and Dr. Patricia Slow-Dean of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab that's heard each and every Wednesday night here on IWDM Radio, beginning at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. First and foremost, I want to say alhamdulillah, that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah. First and foremost, I want to thank Imam Mikhail Sayer for offering his assistance to be able to get us on tonight. I want to apologize to our audience, IWDM Radio, and our national audience that we are having technical difficulties trying to get on here tonight. So without his help, we would not have been able to get on. So we're going to try to really improve, being able to get on and all. So just please accept this apology. And then we thank you for staying with us because we're going to utilize the rest of this time. Because I know we have quite a few people that have been invited. We might have lost some of our audience. So if you have the wherewithal to let them know that we are on the air, please do so at this time. And also those who may be listening in for the MGM Roundtable with our special guest, Dr. Upta, will be following. And we want to say that this is your learning lab, and if you have any questions or comments, we do ask that you press 1. So at this time, I'd like to introduce our very distinguished, esteemed co-host and the co-facilitator of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, dear sister Najwa Abdul Tawab. Assalamu alaikum to you.
Wa alaikum assalam. I'm so happy to be here another Wednesday, and looking forward to making best use of this time so our listeners will leave the show having learned something new, as well as if you have a thought, please share it with us or go to our website, which Mark will give to you before we close out. So we are here for you. And we'd like to start, if that's okay, with
Go
ahead, Mark.
We want to get started. I just want to just say for those who missed last week's Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean. We were on the textbook that we're using, the 21 Indispensable Essential Qualities of a Leader, and we own the last one of those qualities, which is vision. And from that textbook of Dr. Maxwell on vision, one of the things that he stated in terms of how important history was, I'm not going to do anything very extensive in regards to that, but very, very important that we need to always look at that the vision should be shaped by scripture and what it is that Almighty God, Allah, has revealed to us. This is one of the main points that when you come to the Learning Lab, please bring your pen and pad, that we should look at it from scripture, and we should look at it in terms of his creation of the human being that is referred to in the Quran and before the Quran as Adam, which is all human beings, all human beings. And so to get the right vision that we should have for ourselves, also in terms of the goal that we have to get it from scripture. And God says, and he gives us the reason and purpose for our creation, that we may worship and serve him. Imam Muhammad said, that is our purpose. That is the collective purpose. But Allah extends to each a goal, to each one of us an individual goal. And so we also should have a vision of that. There's more we can say about that. But we want to get into tonight's Learning Lab. There's a segment in this book called Fleshing It Out, and that was last week was the second one. We do encourage you to purchase this book by Dr. John C. Maxwell. It's an excellent book in terms of indispensable essential qualities. We do ask that you can go to our email, bring it to the lab, gmail.com. Also like us on Facebook, Bring It to the Lab, also in terms of Instagram. And you can go back into the archives here, IWDM, and get the whole presentation production of last week's Learning Lab. So with that being said, Najwa Abdul Tawab, where are we for this Learning Lab with the time that we have left? Thank you.
Yes, sir. We are on point 3, vision meets other needs. Vision meets other needs. Dr. Patricia and you last week did vision starts within and vision draws on your history. So tonight we're going to spend some time talking about vision meets others' needs. True vision is far-reaching. It goes beyond what one individual can accomplish, and it has real value. It does more than just include others. It adds value to them. If you have a vision that doesn't serve others, it's probably too small. So that's John Maxwell's comments on vision meets others' needs. Yes, Mark.
Yes. So you want to make some commentary on that, Najwa?
Sure I do. Yes, sir. So one of the things that struck me, and I always kind of revert to my teaching methodology, but to do what's called backwards mapping. And I think you're rubbing off on me with this wordology. I'm saying it correctly, but what do words mean? And so I went to the dictionary and I looked up the meaning of the word value. If we value something, it means the regard that something is to deserve. Again, the regard that something is held, pardon me, to deserve, the importance or worth of it. So that's value. And taqwa, or regardfulness, came to my mind because we value our relationship with the Creator. We value our relationship with our own selves, because if you're going to be a leader, you have to believe in yourself. And I thought of the word taqwa, which is paying attention to something. And we have the example first of Allah's creation. He never slumbers nor sleeps. You know, little children, well, does God go to sleep? How does he know? He never slumbers nor sleeps. If there's more than 24/7, that is God. He is always there. And we must teach our children and begin to believe ourselves that everything has already been determined. So that means that this is such an omnipotent, an awesome, powerful God who has planned the complete existence, the format, the structure of every single thing that we can see and we cannot see. So who would not want to pay attention to God? But we can't stop there, because some might not be convinced because of this greatness of God. So I moved on. And the last thing I'd like to mention is foresight. And here I think of our leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad, first of all, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, thought about others so much that he couldn't sleep. He couldn't rest. He would go to the cave. And I don't know if you could think of something that has bothered you so much. I think of a toothache. And, oh, my goodness, it keeps gnawing at you. You can't go to sleep. You can't wake up. And I say to myself in a positive way, now, Najwa, can you care that much about those who are around you if you're going to be a good and true leader? And then to bring it to our current day, when we look at the wisdom that came to us in the example, another example is the Prophet gave to us, but Imam Muhammad, his insight, his foresight, he was able, he was blessed to take that logic in the Quran step by step and then apply it to what he read, what he saw, and then worked very, very hard, very diligently to give it to us. So foresight, the ability to predict, for the action of predicting what will happen or what will be needed in the future. And it reflects a plan. A visionary person has to have a plan. So those were some thoughts from those three little sentences that John Maxwell said that resonated with me, Mark.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. I say, takbir, Allahu Akbar. You know, this excellent, you brought up some very valuable point. I'm hoping that everyone is taking notes in terms of your vision being enlarged or expanded when it includes others. And as Sister Najwa has pointed out, in terms of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's the prayers and peace be upon him, and this was even, from a historical context, this was even before he became the prophet. He was Muhammad ibn Abdullah, but he still had a good, pure heart. And, you know, we say heart, we're not speaking about biologically the heart that we have inside of us that pumps the blood throughout the various parts of the body. But the heart is symbolic of our intentions and our motivations. This is what Imam Muhammad has said when he was teaching us in terms of a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad, a very sahih hadith, a very firm and solid hadith, that the Prophet Muhammad said that all matters are judged by your intention. It's actually the state of the heart, what is it that you intend to do, your motivation. And even if you have good intentions and you're not able to carry them out, you still get blessed for having good intentions. And so whenever the intention or the motivation to want to help and to extend help outside of your own self, not only to family, but also to community and just humankind at large, it expands your vision, your vision. And this is very important that Dr. Maxwell has pointed this out. And, of course, he's not saying this, but the bigger the heart that we have, the more that we want to be charitable, we want to give in Sonica in charity, then Allah increases our vision. Whereas that we find a way, a make a way, He helps us even when I do us in terms of being able to accomplish the good that we have that's embodied in our heart, in our intention, and in our motivation. Our vision expands. The mission and the vision, you understand, it expands in terms of how much we can actually do, because now we're getting even more guidance from the Creator that put that on our heart and all. So Allah uses us, but we have to, He only uses the clean vessels to be able to do that. So that's why it is that it's very important, you know, when we are teaching our children in regards to their vision and to each as a goal, they have to see the goal. This is what I'm saying. They gave the acronym here in St. Louis for a class I do. I know Emil McHale would love that. The name of the class is Words Make People. And I gave them an acronym for success. And they had to go to the Quran to find verses, ayat, verses in the Quran to see your goal. Where is that in the Quran to see your goal? Allah says that He turns each to a goal. So this becomes the personal vision that we have that Allah has already instilled in us individually. But the human being has a collective goal, and we need to always stay connected to the connected goal in terms of that what it is that the purpose for our creation is in worship and service. And Imam Muhammad said the purpose, our reason, the purpose why the human being was created, very, very important. And this expands the vision, you see, because when we serve Allah, let's understand this. As the young people said, let's not get it twisted. Allah doesn't need anything from His creation, not even His human creation. He needs nothing. As a matter of fact, the whole of creation was created for the human being. Very, very important. But so when the human being is serving Allah, that means that the human being will be serving humanity, will be serving another human being. It begins with your family, then community, and then the society at large, humanity at large. It's in that order. So the vision has to be increased or enlarged with the right motivation, the right intention, and that is to be a servant to your Lord and Creator. So hopefully you're taking note on that, and see how that can and will expand your vision. Anything else that you would like to say in regards to that, Naja? And we do have a drafted engineer tonight, my good brother and friend. Amen. I'm kind of chuckling. And also, if you have any questions or comments, please press 1 and come in the queue. And I'm quite sure Imam Sayyid, it will alert us. And also, Nadja, anything you'd like to add to that?
Yes, yes. You said a key word, service. And John Maxwell speaks in his book, writes in there, the true leader serves people, serves their best interests, and in doing so will not always be popular, may not always impress, but because true leaders are motivated by loving concern rather than a desire for personal glory, they are willing to pay the price. And I'm going to go straight to Imam Muhammad Sedalia address of 1982, his educational concerns. And he advised us as educators, don't always look for the one that's got the best personality. Everybody is like him or her. It's not a popularity contest. It's about getting the work done and loving what you're doing so much that you just can't stop thinking about it. So you've got to love your people more than your position. And that initial love has been put in each one of us from birth. And I just love teaching so much, because when you're with younger people, even have a chance to watch them grow and mature, you can see that goodness come out. You can feel it. Tuesday I was teaching a class, and one of the ways that I check for understanding is you repeat back to me what the directions are. Explain it to me, and that's your exit ticket. That's how you get out of class. So class could be over 5-10 minutes for you if you could do that. And it was on Zoom, and the engineer, I could see on her face, how will she handle this? I didn't have to say a word, because another student could feel, could empathize her sister in Islam struggling, trying to figure out how to get to the right answer. So I said, please go ahead, young lady, and you say what you think I would say. That's leadership. The Prophet, may Allah be pleased with him, worked so hard to cultivate the young people around him so that there would be a process by which his vision would be here long after him. And our leader, Imam Muhammad, has done the same thing. And we have the gift of having an opportunity to educate, whether it be in a physical brick-and-mortar building, school, education, in your home, in the masjid, in the musalla. We have that gift to do. And here I am in Daytona Beach, Florida, not too far from Bethune-Cookman University. Mary McLeod Bethune took her son Albert and made sweet potato pies, and she started the Bethune Institute with $1.50. Do we need money? Yes, we do. But it goes back to that love for wanting to get better, to give more to our children. So alhamdulillah, that goodness, we've got to work first, identify that goodness, because sometimes people don't always see the goodness that is within them.
Yes.
And we have to go from that. And then the family reinforces that. You're good. I love you. I may not love what you do all the time, but I love you. I love you.
Yes.
And you notice successful people often come from homes or an environment where that's communicated. So I'm talking to you, but I'll be quiet.
I'm St. Louis by way of Mississippi, and we would say down south, you said a mouthful there, Nadja, and it's so very, very important that this is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. We should show and exemplify love for our children. We need to show them, but we also need to tell them that we love them.
Yeah.
And that you really mentioned – very, very important when we talk about vision and expanding the vision. I used to always, well, I want to say this here, that education, the root meaning of education is to cultivate. To educate means to cultivate. And so when you're cultivating, you are conscious. You are conscious. You're consciously regardful of what Allah's revelation is in terms of his human creation. And he has said that he has created us in the best of mold, and that we know that Allah has deposited something that is of value, that is beneficial, oftentimes called a talent, a gift, that have been given to all of our children. And so we need to help them in terms of identifying it, and the blessing that Allah has given to them. And I used to teach my children all the time, Nigel, that a blessing is not a blessing until it's shared with others. You see, this goes back to the vision outside of just yourself, where the focus is just on you. The vision has expanded to others. And so I would always ask them, what is it that you really want to do in life? And to make sure, we got music. Okay. Thank you. What is it that you really want to do in life? And to see how that is inclusive in terms of really wanting to help others in the chosen profession or career or endeavor that our children, have chosen for themselves. We shouldn't choose for them. But I think yes.
You have a caller.
I have a caller. Okay. Okay, so let's go to the caller and see what they have on their mind. Thank you so much. Your person,
yes,
a comment, caller. Please state your name and where you're calling.
Caller, it's on 219.
Okay.
Yes. As-salamu alaykum. This is Jamal Rashid from Gary, Indiana.
Alaykum as-salam, Dr. Jamal Rashid. You have a question or comment on our topic tonight here on
Yes, I was going to address when you mentioned that the heart is also abstract. It's more than just that physical muscle that pumps heart of blood and the other functions that does to the physical body. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the world has been misdirected when we think of the heart, and we know that the heart in the abstract form, it is also an intelligent entity or intelligent component of our being.
Mm-hmm.
And many times people will indirectly think of the heart as not the same as the brain, because they are two separate entities within the human body. But the heart thinks, and when you're looking at compassion and empathy and the concern for the well-being of others, you know, mm-hmm. and your desires and your passions and urges that you have to think things through. And so you hear people saying, if a person has a foolish heart, but you don't want to connect that to intelligence, that's ignorance, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Or if a person is cold-hearted,
mm-hmm.
you can't just leave the heart as saying it's a physical component without knowing that it also operates under the brain, intelligence, I should say. I shouldn't say the brain, but intelligence. And so
yeah.
I just think it is a subtle way where people get thrown away from not knowing that the heart is an intelligent entity just like the brain is.
Yes. You know, and thank you so much, Dr. Jamal Rashid, for saying that, because it reminds me of scripture that's in the Bible where God says, he says, so as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so there is a connection in terms of rethinking man in his heart in terms of those qualities and characteristics. You know, the prophet's intention was always in terms of compassion and mercy that he showed for those who were underprivileged or that was in need, and he did that before he became the prophet. So yes, those qualities that you name, you understand, we're talking about the abstract, and the abstract in terms of the heart. And oftentimes a person will say that person is cold-hearted or stone-hearted. And Imam Muhammad, as a student of his, he said everything in creation has its counterpart in man. So, which means there's a likeness or similarity to everything that's in the creation is actually there's something that is similar inside of man. So we don't want to be stone-hearted. We don't want to be cold-hearted, you know. We want to be warm-hearted. And he showed us in his creation, even in the animal world, as it's been defined as warm-blooded. And those animals, like reptiles, cold-blooded. And then when we study their nature, we see that the warm-blooded animals, you understand, they form families. They're actually close to each other, society, and all of that, which also reveals to us in terms of how we're supposed to be, unlike the reptiles.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I was going to say, you know, the signs and the proof of all throughout creation are there, that the intelligence is there too. So the main point I wanted to make, again, was that to connect that we have to understand that the heart is just as intelligent as the brain, even though they may be located two separate parts physically, but they have that same operative of importance that we should be aspiring to do.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you so much for that, Dr. Jamal Rashid. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that with our radio listening audience. Very, very important, even in terms of emotional intelligence. And Imam Muhammad gave us quite a bit of knowledge in terms of emotional intelligence. And so we don't want to have a foolish heart. We want to have an intelligent heart, and we want to have emotional intelligence. So thank you so much. May Allah continue to bless you. Assalamu alaikum. Please press 1, Dr. Jamal, as you're muted out to keep the studio clear. So, Sister Naja, I mean, you heard the commentary there of Dr. Jamal Rashid. I think this is so very important. You know, we've used the acronym in terms of IDEA here on the Learning Lab, Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, how we learn, but also how we teach in terms of quickly instruction, demonstration, experience, and assessment of that. So, you know, what Dr. Jamal has said, I think that this has to be something that is actually taught in the first social unit, which is the family life. Sister Naja, when you think, you know.
Mark, you got two other calls going right now.
We got two other calls.
Another call?
Mm-hmm. Oh, we got two other calls. Okay, let's get to the callers. And we do apologize because this is going to be a abbreviated version tonight because we got on late. We do apologize. So let's go to the callers. The callers are going to ask you if you can do it within a minute. I don't like to really put time restraints on you, but I know we're getting close to the top of the hour. If you got a question or comment, if you can keep it to a minute, we would appreciate it. Let's go. Who we have up next?
You have, Mark, you have 504-505.
Oh, well, that's our guest from our guest for the CWSC roundtable.
Yes,
I mean, for MGM roundtable, Rashid. So hold on there. Go to the other caller, please.
Okay, very good.
Are you in? Do you have a studio now, Rashid?
Oh, I'm on my phone now. 251-404. State your name and tell me where you're calling from, please.
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Henry Hasib, and I just wanted to say, because I know we're running out of time, but that I agree with that, and I think it's a subject there that really, really needs to be deeply delved into, especially when we start talking about our children. But I just wanted to say the thing that it aroused in me, as Sister Najwa was saying, about the oneness of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
Every else, once we realize the oneness of Allah and get a understanding of that, and then realize that everything else is in duality. Allah is the only one. Everything else. So when we look at the human being, we know, as we say on our program, that if there's room for good, and then there's room for bad. In other words, you can make a choice. But just to think, if we were doing and teaching our children, what he was saying, that if we were teaching our children the goodness of Allah, and then if we wanted the goodness for each other, if we woke up every morning trying to see what good can I do for the human being, and if this was the general thinking pattern in society, what would we really be? So I just wanted to say that.
Yes,
I got so much more to say, but I know we're running out of time. And
yes.
Inshallah, I'll save it for another time.
Well, thank you, brother. Walaikum as-salam. Thank you so much, brother. Thank you, brother Henry Hasib, who is a co-host there with Dr. Jamal Rashid. It's both of them called in tonight. Really appreciate them calling in. Solutions for Critical Issues on the sister station, AM 360, each and every Thursday morning. They'll be on this Thursday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern and 6 a.m. Central. And for that, you can dial 515-605-9891. Once again, 515-605-9891. Our sister station, AM 360 Radio, Solution for Critical Issues with Dr. Jamal Rashid and Brother Henry Hasib. They have excellent topics each and every Thursday morning. So please tune in. Sister Nadja, we don't have very much time left, but we have about 3 minutes. And I'm going to give you two. I'm going to give you two while I change over to a new number. So hopefully Rashid gets this message. And I'm going to let you make the final remarks for tonight.
Thank you. Thank you. I thank Henry for making that comment, because the goodness that is in and the duality in the human is so important for us to teach our children from the time that they can begin to understand that we want them to do good, but there are also things in this world that are not good. So how can we raise our children in a way that they will know the difference between the two and be able to make the best decisions so they won't fall into a variety of traps that are out here in this world? I was listening to my physical therapist this afternoon, who was talking about the whistleblowing on one of the social media apps, and it was about courage. And I think that's something I'm going to try to wrap up with, is that we have to have courage to, in the hadith, to speak out with our mouth, to speak and feel it in our heart, or to do something about it when we see that which is going to threaten the goodness that was put in our children and our community and our environment. And what I do know about the relationship with the folklore, it seems like one of the things Imam Muhammad communicated to me was that there was just so much peace and joy in loving and doing good and helping. And that's the role of our community, the family. But families cannot do it. And every day, as I am surprised, maybe I shouldn't be surprised what's going on in the world, I wake up and I say, oh, Allah, let our community be stronger to help. Let us not be like the ostrich that puts his or her head in the sand when we see something that is not correct. Say it in a good way, in a way not to offend, but in a way that can teach, but to help the good come out. And whatever the talents are of our leaders, potential leaders, we've got to give so many opportunities for our children to be involved in those things that are going to change the world today. So, Mark, my last actually is a question that I leave with others.
Yes.
How are we influencing or making a positive impact in the world?
Yes, alhamdulillah. Yes, ma'am. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Sister Naja Abdul Tawab. We have gone over about a minute, but I want to thank Sister Naja Abdul Tawab first and foremost in terms of just being patient with us tonight with the technical difficulties that we've had, and we really appreciate the insight and wisdom that you share each and every first Wednesday here on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. She is an educator extraordinaire, very dedicated to teaching and been doing it for many, many years, an outstanding educator here in the Association of Imam W.D. Muhammad. So I want to express my thanks and gratitude and appreciation for you on national radio, Sister Najwa. In what it is that you bring each and every first Wednesday. Thank you so much.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Mark.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Okay, there we have the first hour here, an abbreviated version of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Nevertheless, we want to say alhamdulillah. The praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost, and that he blessed us to have a learning lab. And I want to thank Emil Mikhail Sahir for coming to our rescue while he was eating his dinner and all. And so I think we have our engineer that has a screen and everything. I want to just say before I introduce our very distinguished, esteemed guest, we want to remind you to tune in to IWDM Radio tomorrow for the Sister Learning Lab, which is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Principal Quran Shakir from the Jewel of the South, the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, will be joining me tomorrow. And that starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And so with no further ado, we are moving to the MGM Roundtable. I like to always begin that particular production with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ilaha illallah wa sharika lahu. Wa shahadu anna Muhammadan abduluhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With the name Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger. And what follows in an excellent salutation of the Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. I'd like to say that I'm Mark Shahid. I am the host and the producer of the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And each and every Wednesday, I like to bring and present to you very distinguished and esteemed guests at the roundtable inside of our community, but also outside of our community, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. And no less tonight, as we have joining us as our very distinguished, esteemed guest, Dr. Frank Upta. Out of New Orleans, Louisiana, and he has been heard on the sister station AM 360. He has an institute in terms of an institute in regards to technology, and the name of that institute is a very, very important to us, and what it actually can do
for us in terms of consultation from him. And he's also constructed programs that can be very, very helpful to us. So with no further ado, I'd like to extend the greetings of peace to beloved brother Dr. Uka. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yes, and I want to welcome you. It's an honor to have you at the MGM Roundtable, Dr. Uka, to be with us here and to share the information, the education that you'll be providing for us. And I know, you know, time is of value, and I always like to maximize the minimum, which is, in fact, time itself. I also want to say to our radio listening audience, I know, I'm not saying this is a learning lab, but those who have their pens and pads, we do invite you to keep your pens and pads and take notes as he'll be with us for the 90 minutes. I want to give him an opportunity to disseminate the information in regards to IT, a lot of valuable information that we're going to be going through. And all, and if you have a question or comment, I'm going to ask that you jot it down so that you don't forget it, and then you'll have an opportunity to ask that question. We're going to be talking about different things, and he's going to bring some warning and good news at the very end of these particular topics that we're going to actually be talking about. We're going to be talking about artificial intelligence. He's going to explain to us what the 5Gs are. We're going to talk about also the hidden STEM economy. We also are going to be talking about coding, and we also are going to be talking about algorithm bias. And I think we're going to start with that in terms of the bias and algorithm bias. When I hear that, you know, Dr. Upta, it seems like there's a prejudice or a discrimination that's there. If you would, before you actually get to that, I would like for you to kind of introduce yourself in terms of what it is. Give a short introduction of yourself as to what it is that you do and everything, and then that would be the first question that I would ask you. And once again, welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you for the book, and give all the praise to the creator of the heavens and the earth and everything in between. And I want to ask him to and seek refuge in him from the opportunistic disease of negativity that whispers into the hearts of men and gen, that he guides my tongue, that I would open the hearts and minds of believers and intelligent folk, that they will take the information and cultivate it and produce a remedy that we will need in this technological age. Praise be to God. And so, yes, my name is Frank Arif Upta, and I have gained mastery in learning intelligent technological systems. I have a PhD in building intelligent systems. That is a curriculum where you design and architect curriculums and systems that deal with technology. And so my intent is to give a pertinent message and a message of great utility to the community and to folks, and then foment a remedy, a solution thereafter, and give the believers and people the good news that goes with it, because nothing is all bad and nothing is all good. It's a vicissitude and a relationship that ebb and flow that keep us pushing towards excellence. And so
yes,
the most pertinent issue on deck that is before us that we all should be participants in correcting in this technological age is the fight and stopping of algorithm bias. And I will go in detail and explain what that is and why everyone should be involved in stopping it. Algorithm bias describes the systematic and repeatable errors in a computer system that creates unfair outcomes, such as privileging one arbitrary group of users over others. The study of algorithm bias is most concerned with algorithms that reflect systemic and unfair discrimination. And machine learning, also sometimes called AI bias, the phenomenon that occurs when the algorithm produces results that are systemically prejudiced due to erroneous assumptions in the machine learning process. Now, in layman's terms, you know, I give different analogies that hit right home to the point. Okay, so if you are a person of color or of African-American descent and of age, then you are familiar, and lived in America at least, you are familiar with the Ku Klux Klan. Now, if you imagine or close your eyes, imagine a robot that's a Ku Klux. That's algorithm bias because the robot has to be programmed. And if the robot is programmed by a racist individual, it's going to be programmed to discriminate against those people of color. Now, that may seem like an extreme example, a hypothet, but that is what algorithm bias will turn into if we don't fight hard to diversify the IT workforce, okay? And so we are in a 4G environment right now, and there's a plethora of cases of algorithm bias before us now. And a 5G environment, if we don't stop it and begin to diversify and train and certify people of color and put them in the IT workforce, it's going to create a whole new era of civil rights movement. So this is why everyone should be involved, especially if they have offspring, children, grandchildren. Now, here's the statistics, the empirical data that is out there now dealing with algorithm bias. Listen to this. If you have a toddler in your circle, in your cipher, in your family, toddler being they are not in the first grade yet, a baby in your family, by the time that baby is a senior in high school, it will not be a Caucasian police officer shooting an unarmed black man in a street. It will be a robot. That is what we are fighting against now. We have to fight against that now so that that toddler that's in your family does not have to put up with a robot, a machine, killing the unarmed black men in the street. Okay? And so that's what this is about. And you cannot fight against algorithm bias by protesting. The only way to curb or stop algorithm bias is to actually put people of color in the workforce, the IT workforce. You can't fight against it complaining about it. The only correction there is available to stop it is to actually train, certify, and employ more people of color within the IT workforce, because right now, as it stands, people of color only represent 1% of Silicon Valley. Yet we spend over $1 trillion on the equipment. So let that sink in. We represent 1% of Silicon Valley right now, yet we spend over $1 trillion in America. So that's an egregious imbalance that needs to be corrected. And once again, I want to reiterate, you cannot fight against it protesting. The only remedy for it is to get involved or get someone involved. If you're not, if you don't want to get involved directly by becoming a participant or joining that labor pool, we should at least be ready to sponsor someone and get them trained and get them in the workforce. Because this war and this situation is quiet as kept. Most of any of you who are listening today probably have never heard of the term. But it exists. It is real. I didn't make it up. It's existing. Yet it's not being dealt with as it should. There's not enough noise is being made about it in the media. Just a few days ago, we had a situation in Congress where they were dealing with an algorithm for Facebook. Now, they are making noise about the algorithm for Facebook, saying that it is lackadaisical in its effort to be genuine as opposed to just letting people put stuff on the media channels just to raise money as an algorithm. But they're not making any noise about algorithm bias still. All right? And so it's going to take more people like myself that's not just familiar with technology, but that actually is in the trenches that knows exactly what's going on. I have seen the robot that will be serving police warrants in the future. It does not miss any targets. It is already programmed to make sure that it's not wasting any bullets. I have seen the robot that is coming to get all of the fast food jobs, right? It does not mess up orders. It does not get mad. It does not show up late. It does not steal French fries. It say you need one person in the building with it, and you're going to make more money than with six people messing up orders.
Dr. Uthar, let me interrupt you real quickly here. And in terms of just asking this quick question, you can include this in as succinctly as you possibly can. What type of timetable are we possibly looking at here?
Well, that's what I was telling you earlier, was that if you have a toddler in your family, that by the time that toddler is a senior in high school, those jobs will be taken. Artificial intelligence is already slated to snatch 5.4 million jobs from African Americans within the next 25 months. That's
okay.
How close we are.
Yeah, okay. That's what I wanted to hear. So you can see how close you get that close next 25 months. So we're talking about right at approximately in 2 years. That we can look and see.
In a couple of more years, you're going to see massive job loss in America because whatever you're doing, the machine probably can do it, and we'll be able to do it in real time because once the 5G infrastructure is complete, right, then a lot of jobs are going to be lost because when the 5G infrastructure is complete, then all these devices will be able to communicate with each other in real time. And you won't need a lot of employees. And so, but I don't want to jump the gun.
We're not going to jump to the 5G yet. So we're going to continue to move here. The next thing that I would love for you to explain to our radio listening audience in terms of coding and why it is so very important, coding and spell that out. And if you can give a definition for that, I think that would be helpful also. Dr. Uthar.
Okay, yeah. Well, coding is basically that block of instructions that language that you would use to transfer information to the CPU of any computer and program it to do what you want it to do. And so coding is important because when the 5G infrastructure is complete, those who can code are going to be much more productive than those who can't. If you cannot code when they finish with the 5G infrastructure, you will be dependent in some capacity on those who can. The analogy I like to use for that when I give lectures is that all of us have probably experienced trying to get through a gated community or some situation where you got to know a code to get past the gate, right? And when you don't know the code, what you usually have to do or what you usually wind up doing is what? you either have to wait for someone to come through who has that knows the code and follow them in,
yeah.
or you have mm-hmm. to get in touch with somebody who knows the code before you can function, okay? And
yes.
so whatever anxiety you feel while you're waiting on that information or that person to come through who knows the code, multiply it times 8. That's what that's the anxiety you will feel in the world where everything is coded. Because
mm-hmm.
in that world, when 5G infrastructure is complete, there will be less employees and more machines doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, if you
mm-hmm.
don't know how to code, if you don't know how to code, you're going to be very dependent on those who can. And the infrastructure and the intelligences and platforms of education that we are dealing with now in the 4G environment in our metropolitan areas, what you see and what I'm learning and what everywhere I go, I see the public sector, the public schools, they still don't have coding as a curriculum for the kids. And only the private schools or the people with wealth and money are making sure they and their kids learn how to code. And so
mm-hmm.
that is an issue. That is a very big issue because right
mm-hmm.
now, if you have a third grader in your family, and they're not learning coding, it's already too late. That's how serious that is. If your third grader is not learning coding now, he's already behind the eight ball, he or she. That's how serious,
mm-hmm.
because coding is going to be the new language. Coding is going to be the new language because, yes, there will be a rise of the machines. The machines are going to be doing a lot of work. Hence, if you can code, you should be able to program a machine to do work for you. This is why they say that 5G should produce the first trillionaire in America, because one analogy I give in my lectures, because I'm from New Orleans. New Orleans is a food city, and so
mm-hmm.
people come from all over the world to come to New Orleans and eat our food. And so I know a chef that's one of the best chefs in the city, and I
mm-hmm.
encourage him to learn how to code anyway. Him and his son, and he tells me, Frank, I'm turning down contracts. I'm good, you know, I'm straight, you know, and I say, bruh, if the average cook or the one you always ribbing on that can't cook and you're wondering how he is a chef, if he can code him and his son and you can't, when they finish with 5G, what's going to happen is because he can code, even though he's not as good as a chef as you, what's going to happen is he's going to have 5 robots over there scrambling eggs and another 5 robots flipping pancakes while you're doing all the work yourself. That's what's
mm-hmm.
going to happen. And so this is why coding is important, because when you know how to code, you should be more productive. You should be able to get a machine to do some of the work, because the machine is going to do exactly what you tell it to do if you can code. And so it matters not. What this is going to produce, because now, like, the environments now, what you have is, talent-rich communities that
mm-hmm.
may be impoverished, but they're talent-rich, where I'm from, the talent is in the neighborhoods, and so what happens is they might extract talent and exploit the talent. But in a 5G environment, the talent won't matter. What will matter is the productivity. That's what will matter.
Yes.
And so
yes.
You'll be able to outproduce the talent. And so that's going to
mm-hmm.
change the game. That's a game changer. 5G is going to change the game. Go ahead.
That's a game, yeah. But before we actually, get into the 5G in terms of those concepts, I would like for you, if you would, in terms of the hidden STEM economy, I think this is really, really important. There's a lot of great information that you have on the hidden STEM economy, and that word STEM being science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, and how important that is in terms of even our children being put in an environment where they can begin to learn that, because as you're saying, this is what is coming to really in this IT spiel. Dr. Uta?
Yes, sir. Well, yeah, I'll give him the basic summary over the five topics that I need to touch on tonight. And so the main one I needed to really get across and talk about was obviously the one that I want to warn everyone about, algorithm bias. However, the hidden STEM economy, this is language that depicts the economy or the labor force that exists in all metropolitan areas that are actually making 15 to 20% more in wages without a bachelor's degree. That's the hidden STEM economy. The hidden STEM economy, you don't hear this language. They don't talk about it because that's the economy of a demographic of people that if they get the right certifications as opposed to the degrees and then being in debt, student loans, they can just get certified and make more money than a person who has went to college 4 or 6 years. That's us. That's our people in our neighborhoods, all right? That's where I'm from in New Orleans, which has the dubious distinction of having the worst school system in the country. We're actually ranked 8th in hidden STEM economy. Why? We don't produce college students anyway. And so that's the economy. That's the talent that if they get the right search, they'll still be able to sustain themselves with gainful employment without going to college 1,000 years. And so we all come up, most of us old school folks, we come up with the understanding that the only way you're going to make any significant money in America is to go to college at least 4 years. And that was the way, that was the culture, that was the language, right? And so things have changed. And so what happens is things have changed around us that we are not aware of, okay? And so if Brother Ukta saying don't go to college, no, I'm never going to disparage any learning platform because I'm an educator. I encourage you. You can go to college, get in there, you know. But I always tell – I'm always – proactive and very, very adamant about any program that I do is going to touch the economic platform of that individual, the economic growth, and making sure that we're not at the bottom of the economic totem pole. Hence, I tell most of my students, I've had 20 students who have went to some type of tech institution and maybe even gotten a degree and wondering why they don't have an IT job. I told you because the only thing that determines or distinguishes who is an IT professional in America and abroad is the CompTIA and Cisco certification. It is the gold standard, not whether or not you were on the dean's list at ITT, DeVry, Phoenix, or whatever community college. That is not the determining factor because when you go apply for these jobs, for at Fortune 500 companies and at in America and abroad and government agencies, the only thing they're going to be asking you what you have is going, where is your certification, ma'am or sir? If you don't have that, you will not be employed. Hence, you have thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of students, men and women, that are trying to pay back that student loan at a low paying job because they thought or were promised an IT career and they never got certified. What they did was purchase a curriculum. And that is tragic. That is going on all over America. I started my company in 2012. I've had 20 students who went to one of these institutions, 10 of which were dean's list material, wondering why they are not working. 10 of them they're working now because they came to me for much less and got certification. Okay? And so, yeah, I have students that paid 18 grand, 16, 15, 12 with a degree, but they didn't get an IT job. And so what am I saying? I'm saying, yes, you can get the degree, but also make sure you get certified. Because if you have a degree with the certification, now you're bulletproof. But if you just have the degree and without the certification, you're not getting hired. But you will get hired with the certification without the degree. Hence, That is addressing what? The hidden STEM economy, which means you don't have to go get a degree to make good money in America now in IT. And put this out there, IT, my industry, is the only industry that's hiring children. There's no
other, you know, please say that, reiterate that if you would, put a little emphasis on that. And I know that you are an educator, so you're not discouraging that at all. But this is really news, and it should be good news for our radio listening audience to really know, because other than listening to someone like you that would actually give us this type of information, I'm quite sure that many of us, I know I didn't know that, and I'm quite sure there's others that didn't know that either. So please just emphasize that once again, if you would, please, how important certification actually is.
What they have, what's been going on in America for years. Way before I started my company, you have what is called hackathons in America, all in different cities. Now, they have never came to New Orleans because, you know, they still think reading is illegal in my city. And some other cities, they may not come. But in most cities that have good school systems, what they have is a hackathon. That is a competition to see who can code or hack the computer to solve a problem. Well, many people don't know, and to answer the question about coding is, yes, it's the language that you use to communicate with the computer to tell it to get it to do what you want it to do. But also when a child learns how to code, he develops deaf problem-solving skills, because the issues with coding is that whatever the vicissitude, whatever the challenge is, the child will constantly work at figuring the right instructions to the computer to get it to do what it wants it to do. This is how inventions are made. This is how kids are becoming millionaires overnight in America, because they are figuring out how to build their own apps. You know, what we have to do with our kids and minority kids, quote unquote, is that instead of them playing games all day, they should be building, creating their all day. They should be learning how to make their own apps. Hence, one day they might make an app that is so unique, a company will offer them a contract. But let's get back to the hackathons. So when there's a hackathon in the city, right, and they don't care who gets in it, the companies that are going to be there, they're going to have an executive from Bing, Yahoo, Facebook, Google, Microsoft, IBM, and among others. And whoever wins, they could care less how old they are. They're going to offer them a contract. And so if I don't tell minority kids there's a child 14 years old making $87,000 a year at IBM, who's going to tell them? Okay, so this is what the type of work that we do at New Life. We expose the kids and the children to arenas where they can be competitive, share ideas with kids all over the world, not just in America. And now, instead of them just playing on someone else's app all day and night, because if you have a child in your family, you will know one thing. All these kids are good at what? Playing on the phone, right? instead of them doing this all day and night, they have another group of children that are spending day and night trying to build their own app.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so this is more challenging. And this is this helped that kids learning how to code. They usually do well in other classes because they already are programming their own brains to solve problems. Go ahead, Matt.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Now, let me say, those who may have tuned in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And my very distinguished guest, this is Dr. Ubda, have joined me here and disseminated some excellent information in terms of IT, what it is that we're looking at now, and most certainly very important what we're looking at in the very near future and how important it is to get this information now. So if you do have any questions or comments on anything that Dr. Upta has given thus far, do ask you to press 1, and so my engineer can see you in the queue that you got your hands up. As he has more information, a lot more information that I'm going to ask him to disseminate. But if you have questions and comments, I ask you to press 1. Or if this information is resonating with you, I'm going to ask you to press 1 if you want to give them the greetings or want to inquire. And at this time, Dr. Upta, because I want to give you at least 2 times to now and halfway here, and then at the end of this production to give out information how our radio listening audience can actually get in contact with you. So if you want to do that now at the halfway point, and then we'll also give you opportunity at the end of this production on the MGM Roundtable. Dr. Upta.
Yes, sir. If you're interested in any of this information, or you want to get yourself or someone involved in getting a certification, but that's the main thing we focus on is getting people certified and putting them in the IT workforce to fight against algorithm bias, you can contact us at 504-505-0514. That's 504-505-0514. I only ask that you at least text your full name and email address. Hence, if I don't take your call, what I will do, I always respond to the emails, and I'll send you information about our company and when we will start our next class. Typically, if you're a beginner at this stuff, you're going to probably get certified in A+, which is the doorway certification to other cert that the CompTIA certification organization gives. The certifications if A+ is pretty much the basic fundamentals of IT and computer repair and phone repair. All the geeks at Best Buy are A+ certified, to give you an example or mental picture. All right, and that certification can garnish anywhere from at least $30,000 to $56,000 a year, predicated on where you land. But after that cert, remember, this is an industry. IT is an industry where we never arrive. We have to recertify every 36 months. This is why the salaries are so good. Because in other industries, like I explained to one of my brothers today, that if you majored in music and you got a PhD in music, then you're at the top of the food chain and you will remain there forever in America, because usually the PhD level is the crust, the cream of the crop. And so IT is different. The smartest person in IT has to sit back down every 36 months, because IT evolves. It does not stand still. And technology is moving faster than society. This is wherein lies the 1.4 million jobs available right now. It don't matter how high unemployment is. One person that's never in trouble on any job site is the person that's good at IT. They don't get sent home because there's a shortage, all right? And so there are 1.4 million jobs available, but they're not giving them to anybody. You have to be certified to get these positions. But once you get them, you will be gainfully employed and be expected to keep learning. And when you keep learning, if you're not the smartest person in the room, you probably will soon be, because other industries, they don't have to keep learning. The IT person has to, at some point, sit back down and learn the new stuff.
Yes, so very good information. Now, let me give Rashid Salam opportunity as our engineer to see if we do have some callers with their hands up, or maybe he want to ask the question. Rashid, do we have any callers in the queue with their hands up, a question or comment?
Yeah, Mark, we do have 2 individuals so far, and 718-749. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. William Kareem calling from New York City.
Alaikum assalam. William Kareem, good to hear your voice, my brother. I know you're listening to Dr. Upta. I hear some excellent information. You have a question or comment for him, William?
Yes, alhamdulillah, Dr. Franklin, you know, we speak regularly because, you know, many of the things that he's doing is on the more technical levels that we have a relative relationship, especially as far as teaching and education. Me teaching in the Clara Muhammad School, what he's teaching is really important for the students. But the comment that I want to make is that this is technological transitions that have happened in America. But it hasn't happened in America, but it has happened all over the world, where technology, has transitioned the human being's life. The only reason why I believe that I can say that is because the thing is that, you know, the Holy Quran tells us that, you know, shows us that. But what we also know is that the foundation of all technology is Allah's creation. That's what we really know. And that is the message that our Prophet Muhammad, that is what we really strive to teach the children in the Clara Muhammad School, that, you know, the foundation of all knowledge is always, you know, Allah's knowledge. And so when you see the human being, or you see the human race going through all of this, these technological challenges and coming up with these technological accomplishments, then it is because they are, you know, making various progresses. So just to mention some of the progresses that's actually been made, because I've actually been part of it. When I was coming up and I was just, you know, chilling out in school in the 60s, the most important thing wasn't a certificate, but that you had a high school diploma. If you didn't have a high school diploma, it was like, yo, you ain't going no place if you ain't got no high school diploma. And then after the high school diploma, it was like, oh, you know, you got to have a college degree. So, you know, that's where we are today, that, you know, like they have told us today that, yo, you got to have a college degree. So now you get all these students, you know, that have spent all this money, you know, that are going to college, and now, you know, have all ranked up all this college debt. And even though, you know, they got degrees, they can't get a job, you know.
Yeah.
But now the college degree is not the thing anymore. Now the future is what Dr. Frank Oster is talking about, and that is coding. That's the future. So, you know, like,
yeah,
if you can't code, like Dr. said, if you can't code, then, you know, like, look, you know, you ain't going to be able to participate in the transactional transactions that's happening for the future of the human race. Another situation that I was in that I've been blessed to be a part of is that, you know, when I worked on with the post office, because I worked for the post office for 35 years, so we're talking about in 1983, I started working in the post office. Now, when I worked in the post office, they were making money orders with machines. That you take the money order, you put it in a machine, and then you go ahead and, you know, you show the machine, set up the machine, you know, how much you want it to be, and then you pull this lever, and the lever would actually put, you know, the stamp on the money order, and then you would give it to them. And then, you know, you had to be able to count change, take the person's money, be able to not only take that money and then count the person's change out and then give them back the money. Now, I went through the technological transition with the post office, where they went on and started using computers. So they put the post office, they put these machines down, you know, I mean, you know, they put the machines down, and now you want to buy something, you got to go ahead and do it with a computer. So, you know, you get your stuff, you go to the computer, you put in how many stamps the person wants, you know, you put in how much you want the money order for, and you press a button, and the computer automatically does it. Now, there have been times, and this was interesting, there have been times when the computers went down, and y'all may have experienced this. The computer goes down, and you standing in line, you want to buy money or you want to buy some stamps, and they come and say, you know, you have to have cash only because, you know, the computer's in. And I said to myself, I said, well, look, you know, why is it that they don't just go back to the machine, you know, the machines that they have? but they refuse to do that. They're not going to go technologically backwards. They're not going to do that. So technology continues to move forward. So, you know, once he gets to that point, we have 5G, 2G, 3G, 4G, 5G. We had that, but and Dr. Frank was telling me that, you know, Windows, they're coming out with something called Windows 11, that you can't even do a Windows 7 now. You got the iPhone 13. You can't even use an iPhone 3 no more. Because, you know, like it's, I don't know the word, I can't think of the word, but, you know, it's distinct. It's extinct. So this is what we do. These technological transitions wind up being important. And the last comment that I'll basically make as far as that's concerned is that we was in a situation where, you know, and you had Africans actually coming from America that were slaves. And even though they couldn't speak the language, they couldn't what they could do is identify the human problem. They could identify the technological problem. Because they had an understanding with God's creation, and because they had an understanding with God's creation, especially Africa, you know, working in, you know, Muslims, you know, being coming over here, Muslim and all the rest of that, then they were able, the slaves, many of the slaves, was able to solve some of the technological problems that existed.
Yes.
But why? Because they had the foundation of Allah's creation.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Brother William Kareem. Alhamdulillah. So thank you for that valuable information that you gave to us. And please continue to tune in, listen in. Appreciate you calling in. Assalamu alaikum. Press 1, and you can go out to queue to keep the studio clear. Before we go to our next caller, Dr. Upta, anything that you want to say in response to what Brother William Kareem just gave?
Well, yeah, with Brother Kareem, you know, he's on point, you know, but I want everybody to be clear because sometimes when people hear the word technology, thinking, you know, they might be thinking something, you know, sci-fi or something really high tech, but they have to realize that when the person invented a kickstand, something to help the bike stand on his own two wheels, that was technology.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that give us efficiency or make improves the quality of life, it's like a form of technology. So you had technology in every age and every era, you know. A new tool can be considered technology. But the thing about, you know, I teach my students, technology is also about communication. So because if a car is high tech, mainly because you can communicate with it, like Knight Rider that came out, you know, in the 80s, that little TV show where the guy was talking to the car. When you can communicate with the device, that's super high tech, and that's the world that we're about to enter. Everybody's going to be able to talk to their machines, and the machine's going to be able to respond in real time like a human being. And I also say that real technology is not when you usurp all of the resources in the environment. Hence, if I built a spaceship, yet I usurped all the resources in that environment to build it, that's not real technology. But if I built a spaceship and I'm only using sunlight, now that's real technology. So when you get more for less, that's efficient technology. And that's what you're going to see in the 5G environment. But when you get that level of technology that's upon us in a 5G environment, it's going to initially cause massive job loss because the efficiency is going to come in slashing labor pools. When you slash labor pools by up to 50%, then you have massive job loss. So world that's upon us is a world that's going to make everyone that's going to have to add to their resume soon.
Yes.
That's the warning I
want to
give.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. No, some very valuable points that you make. And we never want to leave the Creator out of the picture because Almighty God has, as the Creator in this creation, has made all of this possible for us, including the human intellect. He's the creator of that also. So, you know, that first computer. So let's go back to the lines to see who we have on. They have a question, a comment. Rashid, We have another caller in the queue. I'm going to ask a question.
We have several more. We have four.
We got several more. Okay, so what I'm going to ask is, and I see where we are. We're getting close to the top of the hour, and so we have approximately maybe, say, another 35, possibly 40 minutes. So we're going to ask that everyone try to, you know, abide by, you know, a minute and a half question or comment, if you would, please. And then I'm going to ask you, Dr. Uthar, be as succinct in terms of answering the questions you possibly can, because I know there's some other information that you'd like to give. I'd like for you to have the opportunity to give that. So let's go, Rashid, who we have up next.
Yeah, 404-202. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Amira Wazir from
Alaikum assalam, Amira Wazir, my beloved sister. Good to hear your voice here on IWDM Radio and on the MGM Roundtable. Question or comment to our very esteemed guest, Dr. Uthar.
Well, first let me say thank
you
very much, Dr. Uthar, you know, for sharing this information with the community. It's mind-boggling. And it answers a lot of questions for me in terms of 5G, what that's all about. But I want to ask a couple of questions in regards to the program that you have. How do you access the program if you live outside of New Orleans? And also address the issue like a tuition term or if your loan program. So how does a student get involved with you?
Okay, good question. Well, first of all, I'm going to answer your question, then I'm going to ask you a question. First of all, Dr. Uthar and New Life Consulting, we were virtual before COVID, okay? And so a lot of my students, they take my virtual class. And I'm saying virtual for a reason, because a lot of people don't understand virtualization. America shot themselves in the foot during COVID because they tried to Zoom their way out of it. You cannot Zoom a class, a student for 8 hours. Zoom is a video conference platform. It's not necessarily a virtual classroom. And the difference is this. If you were one of my students, and let's say you were taking my A-plus certification course, right? A-plus certification is heavy on Windows 10. And you may not have Windows 10 at your house, but because you're in my classroom and you have internet and a computer, I have a virtual lab where you can utilize the virtual equipment. So you can utilize equipment that you're going to need to use to pass the certification exam in my class, even though you don't have the equipment. That's a virtual classroom. Also, a virtual classroom is when I call on you, right, you're going to be engaged. Why? Because I'm going to give you control over the keyboard and the mouse also, so you can show us, make sure you know what you're talking about. So my virtual classrooms are different from a Zoom situation. And also, the secret to my success, praise be to Allah, I'm heavy hands-on. So what I usually do when I have students out of town, I usually do at least 2 workshops a month. A workshop meaning that I'll visit your city at some facility, a mosque or somewhere, where we can do some hands-on. All of my students in A+, they get sent a computer to practice with. So like if you and you in Canada, you got one of my computers, I'm looking at you install a motherboard in my virtual classroom. So the way I teach is different than these institutions, and my job is to make sure you pass the certification exam, but also that you are formidable in the IT workforce. Now my question is, are you Iman Wazir's husband or daughter? I mean, wife or daughter?
Neither.
Huh?
She's neither.
I was curious because I thought the name sounded familiar. That's why I asked. All right.
Yeah, I'm W-A-Z-E-R. I think the Imam Wazir is W-A-Z-I-R.
Okay, I got you. Okay, but yeah, you can. I have virtual classrooms, and so they are very. Very good, you know, and the secret to this is attendance. If you come into class, you're going to win, you know. The national average, that's what institutions with smart people, IITT, DeVry, Phoenix, the national average on job placement is 22%. That's an F. New Life Consulting, since I've been open, I've been 80%. And so that's why wherever I go, Boston, wherever I go to give lectures, they got to listen now, because my data is 80% success rate. That's the best in the country. Praise be to Allah.
Praise be to Allah. Well, thank you, Sister Wazir. Did he answer your question there? That was an excellent question. Did he answer your question?
Yes, but the tuition portion, the tuition terms, and how do you pay?
Say again? I didn't hear you.
She's asking about the tuition part. Do you know the cost and how do you pay and all that? Is that something you
normally
want to say on air, or is that something you want to say to those really interested, or what?
There's a registration fee, and it depends on what course you're taking and your availability. And normally I give an assessment. I have to assess the student because my curriculum's tailor-made. That's the difference between me and everybody else. I don't shove everybody down the same box. I use brain-based learning techniques. That's another reason why I'm 80%. Because I started in the city with the worst school system in the country. So that means that I might have had a grown man on a fifth grade reading level. Guess where I'm going? I'm not staying up there in the stratosphere for him. I got to go down there and get him. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to assess the students. And you know, there's a term we use in tech, you know, and I'm not being disrespectful, but I never pee in the wind with this stuff. I have to be detailed and accurate because I don't have time to waste, and I don't want to waste my students' time. So I have to assess the student, see what kind of curriculum I need to design for him or her, and then I can be more accurate on costs and stuff like that. So just get in touch with me, and then we could work something out, because my business model is not based on the cost of the class. My business model is based on my ability to put you in the workforce and staff you.
Allahu Akbar. But thank you so much, Sister Wazir. You posed two excellent questions. I know those questions are probably on the minds of some of the others that are listening in and everything. So thank you so much for calling in. And we're going to give Dr. Upta, before we close out this session on the MGM Roundtable, opportunity to disseminate the information once again, how you can get in touch with him. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Wazir.
So we got one more hand raised at this point.
Okay, we got another hand raised. Please press one, Sister Razia. Keep the studio clear. Let's go, Rashid. Who we have next? Question or comment for?
We have a familiar number, 219-484. State your name and tell us where you're calling from.
I might know that.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Yes, sir, Dr. Jamal Rashid. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Quickly, Dr. Uta, can you, Vance Jones was given some kind of grant or money, I should say, from Basil. Do you know if he's reaching, what he's going to do or plan to do with the monies he's gotten that will help your program?
Not exactly. I actually do work with Yes We Code. Yes, Van Jones, he and Prince Roger Nelson, the artist formerly known as Prince, may God forgive him his sins and grant him some mercy. These two individuals started a nonprofit called Yes We Code. That was to get over 100,000 minorities to be super coded. That happened right before I started my company. That, you know, they had the Essence Festival in New Orleans. And Van Jones started that. So right now, the money that was donated to Van, I know he's doing good work with that. And so living in New Orleans and trying to start this company and from the ground up in that city, I tried a grant one time. I think I talked to Rashid about that. I didn't get it. It left a bad taste in my mouth. So I have never gotten a grant or any type of loan or none of that. And so praise be to Allah, you know, maybe one day somebody would be nice enough to send us some money so we can continue to do this work. But in the meantime, I am ambiguous as to what Van Jones' plans are with that money that he got donated, but I'm sure he's going to do something good because the brother is beautiful and he's sincere about his work.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay, quickly, I just want to let people know that you will be on as our guest, Brother Henry and myself, tomorrow on Critical Issues on AM 360. And that be 7 a.m. Eastern. And that being tomorrow morning, you will be continuing to be able to spread and share your information tomorrow morning on our program. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, Dr.
Rashid. And let me say this. Here is Dr. Jamal Rashid and Henry Hasib on the sister station AM 360 radio. That happens each and every Thursday morning on AM 360 as Dr. Uftar will be their guest and be a continuation of some of the information you get in tonight and also from last week on solutions for critical issues. And this is a solution for some of the critical issues that we actually engaged in now, you know, even as a country and as a people in terms of our future. So we do ask that you tune in, and you can access AM 360 by dialing 515-605-9891. That's 515-605-9891. And he said 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And for those of you who are in the Central Standard Time Zone, it'll be 6 a.m. for your time to actually listen in to that production. And those on the West Coast is 4 a.m. So let's, Rashid, any other callers with their hands up at this time? A question?
Not at this time, Mark. Let Brother Eman Rashid know that I'll share with him what's happening with Van Jones' money. So we'll just leave that right there.
Okay, good. Okay, right. So Rashid, do you have any question or comment at this time? If not, okay.
All morning with him.
So okay, yeah.
I'm
so
good.
So what we want to do is just continue to move forward because the artificial intelligence you know, I want you to say something about that. And if you want to say something more about the 5G and where we actually are really at this point, Dr. Uftar, please, you know, say that. And then finally, you know, the good news, you know, is to say, as we use the Quran, where Allah in all of his prophets and messengers, they brought a message and that was good news for those that was believers and accepted the message. And there was a warning for those who didn't believe or just was in darkness, in ignorance, and actually rejected the message. And so it became the same message that was good news also became a warning for those who possessed that type of mindset and disposition. So, Dr. Uftar, if you would, anything else you'd like to say about 5G and artificial intelligence? We hear that terminology all the time, so please, you know, give it to us in layman's term so that anybody that's listening can really understand what is being said here and what is that we're looking at for now and also the future. Dr. Uftar?
Okay. Praise be to Allah. Okay, so yes, I will touch on 5G, and so this is definitely need to be explained because when I talk to folks and I meet a lot of folks, I you know, I'm in the trenches, and you know, I'm in neighborhoods and communities, and I know people, you know, everybody has a phone. Let's get that understood. Some type of phone, you know, and so when I ask them, you know, about 5G and everybody's approach and understanding is that it's going to be faster than 4G. Nothing could be further away from the truth. Nothing could be further away from the truth. Because when 2G came out, we were excited to send a text. Then 3G came out, and we were excited to send a picture with the text. And then right now we're in a 4G environment, and so we're excited that we can download a movie from Netflix in 7 minutes. Okay. The key thing about those technologies, those were evolutionary stages of telecommunication. 5G, however, is revolutionary, mainly because of the latency time. Now, in layman's terms, when you think latency time, let's say a person like Bruce Lee. Anybody who's seen a Bruce Lee movie know Bruce Lee is quick and with his reflexes.
Yeah.
human reaction time is 200 milliseconds latency time. On your best day, you 200 milliseconds. Now, 4G is supposed to be between 110 and 140 milliseconds, all right, which means that we don't even experience real 4G speed in America because our Internet is ranked 38th in the world. Yes, there are people with dirt floors that have better Internet than you. However, 5G, when they finish with this 5G infrastructure, the latency time will be 1 millisecond. That's real time. That means all of these machines and devices will be able to respond and communicate with each other in real time. Hence, the Uber driver who thinks his job is safe, he won't be safe in a 5G environment because now that vehicle will be able to assess traffic a mile away, calculate how fast a person is walking across your street, and remember, on your best day, you 200 milliseconds, the car will be able to respond and reflect in 1 millisecond. Hence, the car will be safer than you, and so if you're bye-bye, you're going to have to either find you another job or add something to your resume. That's what's coming, all right? And so, in the 5G environment, it's going to be massive job loss because the machine is going to be able to do what it's told to do from miles away. Yes, you'll be in Hawaii, be able to cut your grass, pull your phone out, and cut your grass from Hawaii because the lawnmower is going to respond in real time to the controls you're using on your phone. That's what's coming. And these phones you have now, they are 4G phones, so that means 2.9 billion phones will have to be replaced. Hence, anybody who is doing business with us that have an entrepreneur spirit is going to make a lot of money because all those phones have to be replaced. And so we are looking for people that have an entrepreneur spirit because right now one of the services that we do with New Life is we provide streaming and we protect people with VPNs from being hacked. The number one crime in the world is cybercrime. Anyone who buys our VPN service gets all the channels that cable provides. And so we help people get rid of their cable bills right now. But we are tapped into other technologies. We're able to fix, repair, and sell the new 5G phones. So this is the best time to work with us. This is the best time to get certified. And, yes, you got to be willing to learn because you'll be tapping into an industry that requires you to keep learning. And so if you think you've arrived because you got a master's or a PhD or a doctorate or whatever you have, if you've arrived, IT is not for you because IT is an industry where you got to sit back down.
And keep learning.
You're going to have to keep learning if you're going to be an IT professional, all right, because this technology is moving faster than society right now. And yes, they are people, the super rich will leave the planet and they'll be living in space labs off the planet because we're destroying the planet. Now, if you're a Muslim or if you're from a Muslim Islamic background, you're one of the duties of a Muslim, last time I checked, and they're supposed to be the Caliph al-Ard, the caretaker of the world, all right, which means that you're supposed to want to learn everything anyway. That's the only way you're going to be able to care for the planet is to learn everything about it. And so the human race is destroying the planet. So the super rich are going to leave. They're going to bounce. And the rich... They're going to be living in the clouds. The people that have a lot of money, they'll live in the clouds. The super wealthy, they leave in the whole atmosphere, and the poor are going to be on the ground level after they destroy a planet. And no, it's going to be, you know, if you can't code, you probably be on the ground level. That's the future. That is what's being created as we speak. This is why this is so important. And inshallah, one day we'll be able to talk about where is the Muslim mind in all this? Where is the place? What position are we in as a Muslim community in the midst of all of this? This is important to me as it is important to other brothers, and we're going to talk about that one day, inshallah. But right now we just want to get the fundamentals out and get people to understand what 5G is, what artificial intelligence is, what algorithm bias is, what coding is. You know, and we want to help people, and we have solutions. We don't just have bad news. We have good news. The good news is that
They got 1.4 million jobs available right now. And all you got to do is be certified.
That's real good news. I mean, all these
Hold up. I don't want you to say they got 1.4 million jobs. They got 1.4 million jobs where the average salary is 75 grand. Let me put that out there. The average salary on this stuff is $75,000, which means right after A+, everything else is pretty much six figures. And you don't have to go to school 1,000 years to make that money, no more.
Well, you know, as a wordologist, I'd like to perhaps change the language a little bit there in terms of career opportunities. I always have seen a job as an opportunity, but career opportunities, you know, you use the word bounce. And of course, Dr. Upta, you know, you probably know people there in New Orleans. I know people here in St. Louis and across the country. They're doing a lot of bouncing from one job to another, to another, to another, and trying to make ends meet. You know, I was a skilled craftsman myself, and oftentimes I would be approached by especially young people, sir, you a painting contractor? Yes. And then they say, you know, I'd like to get a job with you. I said, well, if you're going to want to get a job, you need to go to Snooks or one of the stores or fast food places or something, McDonald's or something. That is a J-O-B. You'll be just over broke. Just in terms of job, but when we start talking about something that requires skill, something that is skill
right.
in terms of profession, something that makes you marketable. I mean, you're in a market, but you are marketable because of what it is that you know and what it is that you can do. Now we are elevating this from just in terms of a job. It's more than just a job. It's a career opportunity, whereas that you can say that you were in this particular field for X number of years before you retired, and you retired, you know, making a lucrative salary, you know, while you were actually working in that field. So I want to make a distinction here because oftentimes, and unconsciously, you know, as people, especially African American, we were told at one time, as you say, and I'm a lot older because my oldest son is almost 50 years old. He'll be 50 in a few weeks. And so the thing is, we were told when we were coming up in my time to go to school, get a good education so you can come out and get a good job. We have to change
right.
that language from in terms of job. We have to begin to start utilizing the language in terms of professional career, what it is you want to do, entrepreneurship, all of those things, just like you have established your company and building it and continuously building it. This is the type of mindset and a disposition that we want our young people to actually have. And from my understanding, you already have people who are adolescents that are making a very lucrative income and is still in school. Dr. Uptar, can you take a few minutes before we have to close out and disseminate that information to our radio listening audience? And I'm really passionate about the language that we have to use because we want to elevate. We talk about the advancement in technology, but we also have to advance the language and make the distinction that this is just not a job. And we want our young people to be marketable also in terms of being in such a big diversified market as an IT.
Hey, Mark, we have one
yeah,
more hand.
Yeah, go ahead, Dr. Uptar, if you would, please.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, the situation when you get a CompTIA certification or a Cisco certification, you will go on a global registry, which means that you can work anywhere on the planet. And so the shortage is so great that You don't have to look for a job when you get certified. The job is going to find you. You just have to put yourself out there. Just put yourself on the platform and make yourself available. And if you look, they got job search engines and stuff like that, platforms where you could put yourself and, or your resume on there. And I know that in New Orleans, which I have relocated, but I'm still connected in New Orleans, right? It's so scarce, the availability of experts are so short that most companies will say just have some knowledge. If you go look on some of these applications or these job mm-hmm. opportunities, the company will say just have some knowledge or just be in class. Just be in a class learning this and we'll hire you. Mm-hmm. One of my students, and this was a young lady, and she was like, I don't want to say she was one of my worst students, but she just wasn't my top student. I'll say that. She wasn't top 10, right? And mm-hmm. so she just told the people she was in my class, and they hired her.
Mm.
And so that's how much in demand the knowledge of this type of trade is. And so, yeah, you're going to Global Registry, and remember, tech hires kids. And so what they like about the children is that they know the child that can code and know how to build apps and is certified now, they want to get him or her early because they know if they certified know what they're doing now, by the time they're an adult, they're probably going to be a beast or a monster, whatever you call them, when they're top shelf, blue chip. So they try to get their hands on the kids early because they know the propensity and the aptitude is vast. There's no
yes.
limit to what they might tap into. So children that can do this stuff and grasp on it. And then, you know, when I deal with kids, you know, I have a curriculum for the mat where we take the werewolf out of the mat room because, you know, everyone's scared to death of mat and science, right? So we make sure we get the werewolf up out of there and we make the mat fun. And so that's important. Yes, the job opportunities, and we don't want to say job. We want to say making yourself marketable because, once again, if
yes.
you have a certification, then all you have to do, now you have something to bargain with. Now you can negotiate your salary.
That's right.
Predicated on what certification you get or obtain, you can begin to negotiate because,
that's right.
you know, I have one of my students. He negotiated his salary because he knew his certification was in demand. Just like right now, the brother mentioned that Windows just came out with Windows 11. So all
mm-hmm.
these Fortune 500 companies that have an enterprise contract with Windows, they have to upgrade to 11. And so that means CompTIA have to change the certification exam and put the 11 information in there. So anybody who has knowledge of how to use and gain mastery of Windows 11 right now, it probably can negotiate because they know nobody else know it. It's brand new. And so that's
yes.
the excitement part. I'm going to tell you another exciting job in IT that I hear a lot of good news about. There's one of the top of the food chain mostly in this stuff is like a cloud architect or maybe ethical hacker, right? If you ethical hacking, you're making doctor money. You're making like about $150 an hour almost, right? And if you get caught hacking, that's a crime. The government gonna offer you a job before they put you in jail. That's what kind of industry we're in. They will offer you a job first before they lock you up. That's how
wow.
short it is, right?
They
and
will
so,
offer you
so,
a job first. That's Dr. Upa, am I hearing you correctly? They will offer you a job
if
before
you get caught hacking. If you get caught hacking and you did a good job, you hacked good. They gonna offer you a job first before they lock you up. And then when you say no and you go to the federal pen, the offer might still be on the table after a few years. You could change your mind and say, okay, I'll work for y'all. That's how in demand that, because the only person that's going to catch a hacker is another one. And so they have what is called ethical.
Only reason I
ethical.
Asked that because I know somebody that obviously, well, I would say they were a professional hacker because they actually got caught and got caught twice. In terms of doing it, and to my knowledge, I believe they may still be doing it, you know, and I know they was making a lot of money. But now we're not saying that here on IWDM in terms of that, not even to insinuate or implicate that is being condoned or endorsed. Not at all.
No, but, you can learn ethical hacking. You can learn how to hack good. And so what happens is there's such a shortage of ethical hackers. CompTIA came out with a new certification called penetration testing. Penetration testers, that knowledge or that curriculum is based on if you get that certification, that's a company hiring you to hack them to find out where the hole's at. So that's like a poor man's version of ethical hacking. But that starts at about
I'm glad that you qualified, you know, with ethical in front of it. So I just know, you know, when people hear that, they know that starts
at about $75,000 a year. But the salary is nothing compared to the perks. Because think about it. If you penetrate test a company, right, and most penetration testers, those companies are save at least $4.7 million. So let's say you penetration test a company and you find a hole or error in their security, and you save them millions. The CEO might say, "Here, man, take this Tesla," or "Here, you can have the beach house for the whole summer." The perks that go with that job is ridiculous. You get the salary, but if you're a good penetration tester and you finding holes, and you develop a reputation of he gonna find where the hole's at, then the stuff that's added, the stuff they give you for saving them millions, you don't even need the salary sometimes. That's how good that job is.
Mark, we got one more hand raised.
Okay, we got one more caller here, Dr. Uptar. We're gonna get this caller in, and then we'll get their question or comment to you, and then the last few minutes, I'm going to give you opportunity for any closing remarks that you want to leave the radio listening audience with and to disseminate your information. So, Rashid, who do we have on the line with the hands up?
This looks like a familiar number, 251-404. Each name tells us where you're calling from.
Senator Sanders and I share very different...
You got a little noise in your background. If you could... get in a little bit better place and speak up, if you would, please. Please state your name and where you're calling from. You're on live on the air.
251-404.
I think
that's Henry Hussey. We'll just mute it.
Okay, he probably never pressed one. Let's mute that mic. Obviously, some noise in the background. He never pressed one. So if you've been on and you had a question or comment to Dr. Upta, we do ask that you press one and go out the queue so we know you don't have your hand up anymore. So Dr. Upta, I tell you, this given us a lot of great information here tonight. On the MGM roundtable. So we got about 3 or 4 minutes here still left. Any parting remarks that you would like to make? And then also, after you do that, I want to give you the opportunity to disseminate the information, how our radio listening audience can get in touch with you. I'm quite sure that everybody that's listening know that there are some good candidates, you know, for what it is that you are offering with the company that you have built, New Life Consulting, LLC, and you already have an outstanding track record already, and you've already stated that, you know, you can't really start too young in regards to this, and maybe there are people out there, I'm quite sure, that want to upgrade their income. This would be an excellent thing, and this is something that we're talking about months in terms of, especially if they're really serious and diligent about taking the course and all of that. So please, if you would, whatever parting information that you would like to leave with the radio listening audience, and also the information how they can actually get in touch with you, Dr. Upta.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, yes, you can get in touch with me. All you have to do is text me your name and your email, and the number is 504-505-0514.
You can call me also, but if I don't take the call right away, I definitely will follow up, and I always follow up with the text and the email. So make sure you text me your email, or you can text me your message or your question, and I will respond. But right now what I wanted to close with is that the shortage is growing. It's so great that now CompTIA and Cisco, they are making their certification exams performance-based so that they know when you pass it that you're ready to do the work. So this, you know, it's not like when I got certified, you still had to have a little work experience. You don't even need that anymore because they're making the exams the way they know if you pass it that you're ready to go to work. And so all you have to do, once you learn theory and concepts from me, from my lectures and the way I teach it, then the rest, you know, I spend a lot of times with the hands-on too. But you're not, I won't let you take the exam until you've passed it twice on the practice exam. So we're not wasting money or time, okay? And so the passing the exam is how you get on the global registry. And once you do that, then, you know, we win when you win. The company's model is based on making sure that you are formidable in the workforce, not just passing the exam or not just taking the class. That's a waste of time because they got a lot of programs in America and a lot of courses. We don't do that. What we do is everything is centered around you making money and getting into the workforce, the labor force, and being gainfully employed so that you can improve the quality of your life in America, because America is about to change. Everything is going to get faster, and people are going to expect it to know more anyway. So this is the best time to get in. We are reasonable. I'm saying we are reasonable because there are companies that are crash coursing A+ and all these other certs for $2,500 in 10 days, all right? And so we don't charge that much, all right? But that's a corporate price, okay? And so, no, we're more down to earth, and we're not into speed or shoving it down your throat. We want to make sure you understand what you're doing. And so we create models that cater to your time and your availability. So call us and text and email us, 504-505-0514. I hope to hear from a lot of brothers and sisters. And just, you could just text and call and ask questions. And so you may not want to take the class. You may want to sponsor someone. Because don't forget, we all have to pitch in and fight against algorithm bias. That is a reality that is upon us. And my job is to warn and give the believers good news. The good news is that it don't take 1,000 months or years to be gainfully employed in America anymore. Praise be God.
Alhamdulillah, yes. So I want to thank you so much, Dr. Frank Arif Upta, for being my guest here on the MGM Roundtable. Really have disseminated a lot of very beneficial information for us. And I hope and pray that those who listen in and just absorbing took good notes and really taking advantage of this, and you really take advantage of this and all. So please dial that number, 504-505-0514. And you can text Dr. Uthar, or you can call him, and he'd be obliging, and we'll get back with you. And I like that everything that you're saying is seemingly it's going to be tailor-made for that person and all. I'm not even computer savvy. I'm just thinking about I got to give up my flip-top phone here in a little bit.
You're going to have to.
And I'm one of the few that don't have a smartphone. I got a dumb phone, just barely smart enough to be able to operate it. It's challenged with my vision. But that's just a little joke there. I do have appreciation for the IT and all this information and technology industry that we actually have here. I mean, you know, a lot of it is for the good. And so career opportunities, and so we won't be bouncing. You know, that word bounce, you know, we don't want to be bouncing here, there, everywhere, still scuffling and scraping, you know, to try to make ends meet. So these are opportunities that I would love to see, in particular, our people take advantage of. I know that Dr. Uptog, you already, I think, have some type of contract agreement with the Catholic Church of people and also Christians. And I want to just give you just a minute, because I do know how much that you love the Muslim community and would love to be instrumental in helping Muslim children to be able to obtain this information and everything. Take 1 minute, if you will, just one more minute, and then I'm going to close us out in terms of the information and all. We don't want to go past our time too much here. Dr. Uptog, if you would, please.
Yes, sir. Well, yeah, and my journey and Allah's guidance helping me and cultivate, you know, this platform, which is a Dawah platform, because most of the time I'm reconnecting that student with his most precious gift from the Creator is his brain and central nervous system. I majored in pre-med, so my students learn that the best computer on the planet is their brain and central nervous system. And so praise be to God that I have been fortunate enough to work with private schools. Subsequently, in New Orleans, we don't have the Sister Clara Muhammad system anymore. My brothers and sisters went to Sister Clara Muhammad. I am a graduate of Muhammad University myself. And so I came home reciting actual facts. My brothers and sisters came home reciting Quran. And so I'm anxious to work with a Sister Clara Muhammad student, simply because there's a MAC code in the Quran that I know if a Muslim child that's tapping his head and saying La ilaha illallah learns this code and learns how to code and learns the Quranic code, we might be able to build a spaceship, the mothership that we were talking about in the 60s. We might could really build it and leave.
Well, you know, for some that don't know, that's kind of an inside thing amongst those of us that were former members of the Nation of Islam, such as myself and obviously Dr. Uptog, who's far younger than I am, you know, being Muslim for a long time, have heard about this and all. But you know, to be very succinct here, this is wonderful, wonderful information. And all, and Dr. Uptog would love to be able to help the Clara Muhammad.
I would be honored to work with kids that are from a Quranic base, because the letters in the Quran are numbers.
Yes,
and it's a code. It's a code that needs to be studied and dissected. And I'm not joking about this spaceship, man. I'm ready to build one and get somewhere, man.
I hear you, Dr. Uptog. And look here, Dr. Uptog, I want to thank you, brother, you know, for giving up your time and all, and disseminating this valuable information for our radio listening audience, and pray Allah that they will utilize it, get in touch with you and all. And you have an open door policy here on the MGM Roundtable, so we do thank you very much, and may Allah continue to bless you and reward you richly. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Look to talking with you brothers again and sisters, and to be back on the MGM's broadcast. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. So there you have it. A very distinguished, esteemed guest, Dr. Frank Iris Uptog. You know, very, very resourceful, very, very knowledgeable, very informational, educational. It's like a learning lab tonight, so hope you took good notes and everything. And please give him a call at area code 504-505-0514 and go from there. So I want to just say we ask that you do stay tuned here at IWDM tomorrow. As we have the Sister Learning Lab, which is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, with Quran Shakir from the Jewel of the South, the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, will be joining me. And we will be still on the text that we're using, publication by Akila Nafisa Rashid, Muslim Marriage Makeover, modeling Muhammad the prophet and making waves in your marriage with the ripple effect. And as you know, we had Imam Fahim Shuaib, one of our scholarly learned imams, last week. And so if you missed that, you don't want to miss this this week, as Quran always takes outstanding notes and some of the great information that Imam Fahim Shuaib shared with us last week on the Learning Lab. So tune in for that. That starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And also Friday, Salatul Jumu'ah Day, with our good brother, one of our very learned imams, Imam Michael Mikhail Sayer, who saved us tonight here. The Salatul Jumu'ah coming from An-Nur Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana. And that begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. Salatul Jumu'ah with Imam Mikhail Sahir. Also, the longest production here on IWDM is Words Make People. Once again, with our very distinguished, esteemed host, Imam Mikhail Sahir. Words Make People, that's each and every Sunday afternoon that begins at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 12 noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And we don't want you to forget about each and every Wednesday here, the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with two very distinguished, esteemed co-hosts and co-facilitators. And it is Dr. Patricia Salah-Uddin, who will be joining me next week. And you heard from Najwa Abdul-Tawab each and every Wednesday. And once again, we do apologize for those who tune in early. And we had technical difficulties, but I assure you, we'll be working to try to alleviate that so that we will be on time next week. And then, of course, that's followed by the MGM Roundtable each and every Wednesday night here on IWDM Radio. That's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 7 p.m. Central and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. Also, I wanted to remind you to tune in to Study Al-Islam with our beloved sister, Sister Fisher of Muhammad. And that happens each and every Sunday at 10 a.m. for those in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, 9 a.m. is those in the Central Standard Time Zone, and 7 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, Study Al-Islam. And you can assess that by dialing 712-770-4160, and the access code is 684012#. And if you should happen to miss that, just change that zero that comes behind the six to a nine. And the most recent presentation and presenter, you'll be able to hear them for the whole week until the next presentation. That's Study Al-Islam each and every Sunday morning. We do ask that you support the Muslim Journal, as it is the lifeblood of our community. That's the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And we ask that you do subscribe. And if you do have a subscription, which should be the prescription for all of us, then think about a family member, a friend, a neighbor, a community member, one of the seniors or pioneers that you can make that a gift to by subscribing to the Muslim Journal. And also in terms of asking you to support the Time to Be Grateful, that will be hosted by the ATL, that's Atlanta, Georgia, in the month of December. And stay tuned to IWDM Radio, as I'll be looking to have Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, longtime editor of the Muslim Journal, to come back to the MGM Roundtable, give us an update of what we can expect for a Time to Be Grateful 2021 here in Atlanta, Georgia. So with that being said, I want to make sure that I thank all of you, because without you, there wouldn't be these learning labs nor the MGM Roundtable, for your participation. Also for our very distinguished, esteemed engineer, our beloved brother Rashid Salam, and also a special thanks to Imam Mikhail Sahir for helping us out when we have these technical difficulties tonight. And I want to just say to all of our callers, especially those who called in, I want to thank you in particular. So until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.